It's great to have Bob with us this morning, isn't it? Who loves Bob Keir? We want to honour Bob as he comes and we want to open our hearts to him. Why don't we just pray? Bob's going to preach to us about baptism of the Holy Spirit and about gifts of the Holy Spirit. And then we're going to have an opportunity in ministry time to receive from God. Holy Spirit, we thank you so much for Bob being here with us this morning. We ask you, Lord, that you would open our hearts, that we would receive from you, we would hear from you. We ask you to bless him, let him be relaxed, enjoy himself. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give him a big Amazing Grace welcome. Come on, Bob. Bob's going to Spain with our youth because he's still young in the summer and he's going to help them with Spanish and all that. Down there? No, you belong up here, brother, with the superstars.
Well, John Archer. Bless him. Good morning, everyone. Good to see you all. Thank you. I must apologise. I don't know, I think it's about 6-7 weeks ago that Martin asked me to speak on the gifts of the Spirit. And over the years, I've accumulated all sorts of notes and experiences. And I was determined to put it all on a USB stick. I've even got some acetates there. Who remembers that acetate? Yay. And so I've got to apologize because I've had a busy few weeks and I didn't get it done. And then to crown it all, my wife was in hospital just for a day this week. And you've probably, I've never seen the film. I've seen pictures of the lad, scissor hands. Yeah? Well, at the moment, my wife's got a scissor foot almost. She's had pins put in them, and so the little bits of metal sticking out the ends. She's had it done before. She with her sisters, twin sisters, and others, was in an orphanage till they were 7, and they had to wear boys' shoes because they were stronger and lasted longer, and they weren't always renewed when they should have been, you know, in size. So she grew up with badly deformed toes. Unfortunately, the adoptive mother had the same policy, so that didn't help. Her twin was fortunate enough to have actually webbed toes. She's a good swimmer as well. So she was spared all that. So Mary's at home with her foot up and pins sticking out the end of her toes in a lot of pain. Went to pick her up in Hartlepool on Wednesday evening. And as I went to get a wheelchair, walked past the reception desk, a young nurse said, "She's very brave." Because she was actually brought up that way, you know. "What are you crying for? Stop crying." That's the kind of upbringing she had. She couldn't understand all these young women screaming, giving birth, you know, and the old Robson maternity home. And Mary just lay there without a whimper. She couldn't understand what all the fuss was about. So she's, as I walked past, this young lady said, "She's very brave." I said, "She had to be to marry me 52 years ago and 5 years courting before that." Now, I know you're all saying, "I didn't think it was as old as that." Well, I'd nearly 20 years and you'll just about get there. So, woo, God is good. Ah, right. I'll try and catch you out as I go along. And it's, me. He's given me half an hour. Martin. Anyway, very quickly, I'm going to share points. I won't give a lot of verses. Perhaps, you know the first verse of 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. "Pursue charity or love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts." So it's not wrong to earnestly desire spiritual gifts. And at the end of the chapter, verse 39, he actually uses the word "covet" in the original version. You know the one I use, the authorized version. Most of you have the Neely Infallible Version. I know these are all jokes, you know, but I'm not John Archer. So I've read those verses to you. So a lot of the verses I'll quote, you know, the Holy Ghost is received to give us power and boldness as witnesses. That's the first reason we believe we receive the Holy Spirit. It's not to enjoy gifts primarily, right? It's Jesus said in Acts 1, verse 8, you know the verse, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, right to the uttermost parts of the earth. So it's power and boldness to live as witnesses of Jesus. And I'm sure you know that the word witness in Greek originally means martyrs. And I've been speaking about this recently in France and Belgium on spiritual warfare. And you'll have heard that story of the 300 children in northern Iraq, who Christian children who were told by ISIS if they didn't deny Jesus Christ, they would be decapitated. 300 Christian children stood firm for Jesus, and they were decapitated in front of their parents. You might say it'll never happen in England. Anything could happen if God doesn't have mercy on us. That kind of thing could get here. It's there in a small degree. You got the soldier Rigby killed on London streets just for wearing a uniform. Anyway, tremendous to know that there are children who've received the Holy Ghost and are so filled with power to live the Christian life and boldness to witness for him and not deny him, that they're prepared to die. So you may say, well, I don't want to die. But actually, we're called to be martyrs every day and die to self. That's more important than dying in the flesh. Dying to self daily so he can live in us in the fullness of his spirit. Secondly, all the gifts of the spirit, and especially speaking in tongues, obviously, are given for our edification, but in order to make us more effective witnesses outside as well as members of the body of Christ. These are just a few general comments. Number three, the gifts of the Spirit, remember, Acts, 1 Corinthians 11:12, I think it's verse 12, says that the gifts of the Spirit are given for the common good. It's not so that we can flash our gifts around, you know, and demonstrate how gifted we are. The gifts of the Spirit are given to us for the common good, for the blessing, the edification, and the encouragement of everyone around us, including ourselves. David, it's written of King David, that David encouraged himself in the Lord. And God wants to bring us to a place where we know how to encourage ourselves, whatever the circumstances, so that we can encourage others. So get your batteries charged up, folks, so that you are a good spiritual battery, and those who've got a flat one can plug onto you and get lifted up. Hallelujah. God's good. Number four, it's obviously the gifts of the Spirit for the growth of the body of Christ, the church, Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. He's talking about the ministry gifts as well, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and all the others. To extend the kingdom, number five, I think that is, that's why the gifts of the Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit is given to us with his gifts so that we can extend the kingdom of God, so that this gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel, you know, of deliverance or healing, that's all part of the kingdom. It's the gospel of the kingdom. That is, that there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light, the kingdom or the kingship, the dominion of Satan and the dominion, the rule, the kingship of Jesus, and we're in one or the other. And Jesus came so that we could be born again. By our first birth, we're in the kingdom of darkness. We are, Jesus said to religious people, so I don't want to hurt anybody, but it was to nice, well, they weren't so nice, actually. Nice religious people, nice on the outside, never nice to Jesus. Jesus said in John 8:44, you are of your father, the devil, and you will do his wishes. So by our first birth, we're in the kingdom of darkness. We're under the dominion of Satan. But Jesus came. Hallelujah. He came so that we could be born again into his kingdom. Born again of the Spirit of God so that we can enter his kingdom and live the kingdom life by the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm mixing a bit of gospel in here, you know, because I feel I need to. Number 6, the Holy Ghost is given. We are baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, and he wants to give us his gift so that the bride of Christ, the church, is prepared for his coming. And he's coming soon. You may have heard that my mother was a Christian. Prayed for 42 years for my dad to get saved. I had the joy of bringing him to the Lord. 6 months later, he died. I've seen heaven since, seen him in heaven since. It's worth going to heaven. It's worth going to. If you don't know where you're going, listen, it's worth going to heaven. Whew. And don't come afterwards and say, what's it like, Bob? What's it like, Bob? I went through all that in Emmanuel Fellowship, you know, and you can spend you know, another hour talking about it. It's worth going, that's all I'll say to you. Well, let me say this. Heaven, I come to the conclusion that heaven is the concentration of all that's good in this life. And there are good things in this life, aren't there? Well, one or two think so, anyway. Hell is the concentration of all that's bad in this life. So for me, the choice is obvious. You know, if we're thinking people, we'll make the right choice. And we get the fruit, we reap the fruit of our choices, folks. Life's full of choices. And so the Holy Ghost is given with his power and his gifts to prepare the bride for the coming of Jesus, who is going to present us, right, as a bride without spot and without wrinkle. That means no sin, pure, sanctified, holy. You might say, I don't feel very holy. Well, that's something else to talk about. You know, we need to walk by faith and believe that Jesus has been made by God for us. 1 Corinthians 1:30, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification or holiness, and redemption. Jesus has got to be everything for us, folks. What I like about coming here is that you sing a lot about Jesus. Because in the end, he is, the Holy Spirit is given to exalt Jesus. That's one page gone. Breathe a sigh of relief. I wouldn't if I were you, because there are quite a few here. Right. I want to read this hymn to you. You know, I suppose I'm a bit of like, you know, I'm one of the old school. I like hymns when they're good theologically and when they're not too dreary in their music. My goal is God himself. Not joy, nor peace, nor even blessing, but himself, my God. 'Tis his to lead me there, not mine, but his. At any cost, dear Lord, by any road. If you never lived this, you'll live it. If you walk with Jesus, you'll live suffering, heartache, but you'll reap tremendous fellowship, communion, and blessing with Jesus and those who love him. So faith bounds forward to its goal in God, and love can trust her Lord to lead her there. It's easy to trust God when everything's going fine, folks. I'd love to talk a bit about suffering. But anyway, love can trust her Lord to lead her there. Upheld by him, my soul is following hard till God has fulfilled my deepest prayer. No matter if the way be sometimes dark, no matter though the cost be oft times great, he knoweth how I best shall reach the mark. The way that leads to him must needs be straight, in the sense of narrow, the old authorized sense of straight, narrow. One thing I know, I cannot say him nay. One thing I do, I press toward my Lord. My God, my glory here from day to day, and in the glory there, my great reward. A.B. Simpson didn't write that. He wrote this. A.B. Simpson, if you don't know, was the black pastor whom God used tremendously in Azusa Street, the Pentecostal revival in 1905 and onwards. And he said, well, not much light here, and I've got a tear or two in my eye. Anyway, A.B. Simpson said, once it was the blessing. You see, there's so much of what I've read in that hymn happening today in the churches. You know, people are after blessing, gifts, etc. It's him you've got to see, Jesus. Get to know him intimately, and he, by the Holy Spirit, will supply all you need to serve him the way he wants you to serve him and the way you want to serve him. Down at the bottom of our hearts, we want to serve him. Once it was the blessing, now it is the Lord. Once it was the feeling, now it is his word. Once his gifts I wanted, now the giver own. Once I sought for healing, now himself alone. Forgive me, but I'm just sharing my heart. On the way back from dropping Mary off in Hartlepool, called on in to see an old friend, Ernie Douglas. Years ago, my brother-in-law, Bill Strike, and a lad I went to school with, Jim Murray, we planted a church in Hartlepool, and Ernie became the pastor after us. And he's now 87. His wife is 88. We were very close to them over years, and then we didn't see them for a while. I just felt moved to call on him. And his wife's in North Tees. He said, Bob, I think she's going home. He shed a lot of tears. I shared a few with him. And then he said, sing Sharon's Rose. Play Sharon's Rose, Bob. Well, you know, it's an old solo of mine years ago. So I went into the lounge at the front, and he got the keyboard out, and we sang a couple of verses, and he just wept. And all he could say was, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. That's what it's all about, folks. My old pastor used to say, it all depends how much you love Jesus. And so, I want to talk about one gift. We'll get there. But I want to share this, just a few things about how to receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Everything we receive from God is by grace,
through faith.
Through faith. We don't deserve any of it. That's grace. I know it's an old thing, but some of you won't know it. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. Undeserved favor. God, praise God, Jesus came. We beheld his glory. John 1:14, I think it is. Oh no, that's the word was made flesh and the flesh and dwelt among us. Yes, and we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Notice the order, full of grace and truth. The more grace we have, the more gracious we'll be. The more truth we get, we don't get grace with it, we'll be more and more opinionated and, you know, controlling and feel that we know it all and etc. For God is the God of all grace. So we are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. So how are we going to receive these gifts? Now, I want to make another point here. The idea is to talk about the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't exclude either the talents that God gives to every one of us. And they're all from God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there dwells no darkness and no shadow of turning. He doesn't alter. He's always the same, dependably light. And all good gifts. So everybody has at least one talent, folks. Everybody. Jesus said, story of the talents, everybody has at least one talent from God. And that will indicate, the gifts of the Spirit and the talents he gives us will indicate the function or the role or the service or the big word ministry that he wants us to fulfill in the body of Christ, so that together, members one of another, we can demonstrate the fullness of God in the body of Christ. And I probably talked about this last time I was here. Colossians 1:18 says, it pleased God that in Jesus should all fullness dwell. He expressed himself fully in Jesus. That's a whole Bible study. And then in Colossians 2, verse 9, it says that God was manifest in the flesh. The fullness of God was manifest in human form, right? And that's always been God's desire, to express himself fully. He said at the beginning, let's make man in our image and in our likeness. And he expressed himself fully. That was always his desire. That was messed up by sin and messed up in our lives by sin. But praise God, Jesus came, the full expression, the logos, the full communication and expression of God in human form. Right? In him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. But he's in heaven. So where does God want to show his fullness today? And it's in the body of Christ. Normally I would wait and ask for answers, but it's the body of Christ. Now, unless we as members of the body of Christ become willing, operational, active, guided and submitted mutually members, the body is weakened and will not become the full expression that God wants it to be of Jesus here in this place, and outside, and nationally, and internationally. And God is doing that, actually. God is uniting individual churches. Individual members are beginning to realize they're meant to be useful and functional, and not just come and sit and receive blessing, so that God can demonstrate his fullness in his body. Jesus was, in Ephesians 1, 28, no, 22 and 23, I think it is, it says that God has given him to be head over the church, which is his body. And the loads of verses, you'll have had them already in Bible school, Bible studies here, etc., in your house groups, cell groups. Loads of verses that talk about the church as being Christ's body on earth, demonstrating the fullness of God. So God's got gifts for every one of us. Praise God. God's good. I'm beginning to wonder. It's very quiet. So how are we going to get these gifts? Number one, we need to desire them. I've already mentioned that. It's not wrong to desire, even covet. Desire earnestly. You're not to covet your neighbor's wife or anything else the law says, right? Or his money or his goats or his car or his BMW or whatever. But we can legitimately covet, earnestly long for, and reach out and seek God for gifts, the gifts of the Spirit. It actually says, seek earnestly the best gifts. Now, there are all sorts of ideas what are the best gifts of the Holy Spirit. Can I say this? The best gift for you will be the one or the ones that will enable you to fulfill your ministry, your service, your function, your role, your action, your office. All those words are used in the Bible. As a member of the body of Christ. So if you're going to lead praise and worship, you need to be able to sing in, you know, to sing in harmony and sing, you know, not out of tune, etc. And if you're going to play an instrument, you need to be able to play an instrument in tune, right? So if you have those talents, God is saying, this is where I want you to serve me. So the best gift for you is, or gifts are the ones that will enable you to fulfill to the fullest possible extent your purpose in the body of Christ. Secondly, the best gifts will be those that will enable the body to function as it is meant to. The gifts that will most bless and encourage the body of Christ. So, it usually starts by being filled with the Holy Spirit, receiving the gift of tongues, learning to speak in tongues by faith and not by feeling, and learning to develop your tongue, and learning to seek other tongues. If you speak in tongues, roll it around your mouth and enjoy it, and then deliberately change the position of your lips and your tongue and your vocal cords, and by faith speak another tongue. There's the gifts of tongues, right? The gift of tongues. And I listen to myself. Lots of Christians just speak in tongues when they feel good. The time to speak in tongues is when you feel bad. Because he who speaks in tongues builds himself up, edifies himself, charges his battery. And then you can edify, verse 12, 1 Corinthians 14, 12, you can go and charge somebody else's battery. And the Authorized Version says in that verse that we should seek to excel. The Simpsons getting blessed here in Authorized Versions quoted. We are to seek to excel in edifying the others. So, you know, instead of coming to church, Lord bless me, I want to be blessed, I want to go out strong for the rest of the week, you know. God wants us to reach a place of maturity where we come, Lord, how can I bless my brother? How can I bless my sister and glorify your name in doing it? Because that's, it's glorifying him and blessing the others. So desire the best gifts. Then, number two, I think it is, ask. We're talking about how to receive the gifts. Ask, right? So pray and the Holy Spirit will lay on your heart the desire for a certain gift, okay? And pray about it, and then ask about it. Jesus says, in Luke 11, verses 11 to 13, I'll just use the last verse. If you, being evil or bad, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will God, a good Father, perfect Father, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And then Matthew says, Matthew 7, verse 11, I think it is, he says, Matthew says, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good things or good gifts to those who ask him? So we need to ask. Number three, we receive, as with everything, by faith, right? So if something pops in your head like that, and it's a word of encouragement, edification, revelation, a word of knowledge for somebody, right? If it comes like that, you've asked God for gifts, right? And if suddenly you get this thought, right, then the next thing, you receive it by faith, you express it, and you share it by faith in humility, right? And the devil will come along and say, you might be wrong, right? Well, share it anyway. Share it with the leaders, right? They're not perfect either. None of us are. But together, they will discern in humility and in the Holy Spirit whether it's of God or not. And if it's not, if they feel it's, not of God, or it's for yourself very often, then they'll gently tell you, it's not for the church, but maybe it's for you, But encourage in any case. So receive it by faith, express it, share it in humility. We receive everything by faith. Number five, welcome encouragement and correction. Number six, gifts are received also by the laying on of hands. 2 Timothy 1, 6, Paul says to Timothy, stir up the gift that is in you, which is given to you by the laying on of hands, right? I believe that in that context, he's actually talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, not a particular gift of the Holy Spirit. In the context, he's obviously talking about stirring up our spirit and being stirred and on fire and enthusiastic for God. I'm sure I've shared here, the word enthusiasm comes from the Greek entheos, which means in God. So Christians should be the most enthusiastic people in the world. Amen? Man, it was a good result in St. James's Park last night, wasn't it, Edward? Yeah. That used to be my God, football. Sport in general and football. I wanted to follow my brother to Sheffield Wednesday. And in the end, he just carried on with his career because there was more money in it. But it's nice when Newcastle win. It's all right when the Borough win. They had a good win, hadn't they? I know we're talking about spiritual things now, you know. 5-1 away. Millwall, with all the hooligans down there, or they used to have. But folks, and you know, I used to play centre-half. I've lost about 5 centimetres now, they tell me. But I used to play centre-half, and it was great to stop goals, you know, prevent goals being scored. And I used to go down and occasionally score a goal, and you get a buzz, you know. Tragically, in churches, there are people who are just looking for buzzes. Not here, of course, you know. You can get a buzz out of God, but we need to learn to walk in the Spirit and obey and exercise the gifts that he gives us. So they beat Chelsea, but next week they might lose to Queen's Park Rangers. So there you go. Number five, I've already said it. Welcome, encouragement, and correction. Laying on of hands. 1 Timothy 4:14, another verse, Paul says, wage warfare, words to that effect, walk according to the prophecies that went on before you, and which the gifts that you received by laying on of hands. Number seven. Laying on of hands. And then number seven, through prophecy. Well, I've already mentioned that. And God always confirms what is genuine. If you receive something from God and you believe it's the gift you're asking for, whether it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Holy Spirit, or gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you have the faith and the courage and the humility to share it for his glory, those are the conditions, for his glory, then he will confirm it. I've probably shared this the last time I was here. The first time I spoke in tongues, I was studying, well, I'd finished my studies as a linguist, and we were planting this church in Hartlepool, and there was a chap who used to come who he was a nominal Anglican. I mean, praise God for all the great Anglicans there are now, baptized in the Spirit and moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Plenty of them, folks. Loads of them. And he used to come, and amazingly, he used to come and listen. All he came for, he told me, was to listen to me playing this old harmonium where you had to pedal like a madman and the air was, you know, coming out all over the place. And to get any volume, you had to really go. And that's all he came for. And then one night, God spoke to me through a verse of Scripture. I'd already prophesied, but I'd never spoken in tongues because as a linguist, I wanted to control what I was saying. I wasn't going to speak in tongues without understanding it. And of course, the Bible says you don't understand, but your spirit is edified, strengthened, built up. So because of this scripture, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy, twice in the book of Revelation. Lord, to testify of you, I'm by faith, without any shivers, no, you know, no goosey flesh, no trembling, I'm going to speak in tongues. And I spoke in tongues for a good while. There was an interpretation from a member of the main church in Stockton. And at the end of the meeting, that man came to me, that Anglican, and he said, Bob, during the war I was in Egypt, and just now, you spoke Arabic. Since they've heard me speaking Hebrew as well, apparently. I'd love to go one day and have the courage to stand up and preach in Israel in Arabic and Hebrew. Well, I've been twice to Israel. Didn't do it then. Maybe the third time. So, God will always confirm what is genuine, right? Mark 16:20. These signs shall follow those who believe. You believe? Do it in humility. God will confirm it. I maybe said this last time as well. The first time I prophesied in our new church in Norton years ago, not Emmanuel, not Tees Valley Community Church, Christ Church Mission, which is in a mess at the moment. Pray for them if you know anybody there. We had a prophet in the church And he was the prophet who actually said to myself and Dave Strike, go to Rouen in France and find Mr. André Dupont. He didn't know how to say it, so he spelled it out. André Dupont. Well, you know, you don't hear many prophecies like that nowadays. They're in the Acts of the Apostles and other places. So we went. I'd never been to Rouen. That's where Joan of Arc was burnt at the stake. Went to Rouen. We got a little room. We went for a walk in the evening. It was half term, I think. I was teaching summer term. And walking down this broad avenue, I saw Apostolic Church. So a bit funny, the Apostolics, you know, but that's a joke, by the way. And so I said to Dave, let's go in. And there was a Bible study on, and went to the pastor afterwards and said, do you know a certain André Dupont? And he said, I've known him for years, gave us his particulars, and that man came to the church in Stockton for years, a godly man. Tremendous. What a privilege to sit at his feet and serve him. Died just a few years ago, 99 years of age. Not bad, eh? Well, it's 10 to 12. And some of you might be hungry and worrying about the chicken becoming a sparrow. So, yeah, I've got all these here. You see these acetates? I think it'll have to be another occasion, eh? Just being very general, but what's the purpose? And I'll just read. I've done that, haven't I? Yes. So I'm finished, really. I mean, it's all in there, you know. And enough there for about 3 weeks, I think. I've just sought to encourage you, and I know there are all sorts of needs here. I know there are people going through tough times. But we're just going to have a time of ministry now and pray for you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit, come forward. Jesus will fill you with the Holy Spirit. The whole purpose is for you to find your purpose in life and serve Jesus with all your heart and see his will fulfilled in your life, in the church, in the world, for the glory of God. Now, let me tell you, folks, at the age of 75, 76 in January, I wouldn't change any of the path I've trodden. And it's been tough. And it's been tougher still for my wife. But through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. I was on the phone to Ken Howie. Some of you may know him. 83. We were in FGB, Full Gospel Businessmen, together when God was doing tremendous things in this area. Miracles and etc. His wife is blind, had 13 operations on her eyes, and they're still standing strong for Jesus. And it's lovely to talk to people like that. I'll tell you, I might have bored you this morning. I'm in that age bracket now, you know. But I tell you, it's lovely to sit at the feet of people who know God intimately.
Praise God for Bobby. Come on, let's stand up.
There's nothing profound there, but God is good.
I loved it when Bob said about loving Jesus. It's all about loving Jesus, did you? I think that's what this morning's all about. And it's beautiful to hear Bob. We honour him, we love him. It's who you are at the end of the day, isn't it? And, you know, when you're young, when you're a baby, you like milk. But when you get older, you like a bit of red wine sometimes. And for those of you who are a bit more mature, you know that what Bob says is red wine. Who would like to be filled with...
He keeps the best till last.
And with Bob, it's never last. When he shuts his Bible, it doesn't mean anything. Who would like to be more in love with Jesus this morning and receive prayer from this man of God and receive the Holy Spirit? If that's you, why don't you quickly come and stand down the front? If you've never given your life to Jesus this morning, I know there's people in here who are in for the first time. It's so easy to do that. You can just come as well. You can just come and join people. You can join the back of the crowd. That's how many people came to Jesus in the Bible. They just joined the back of the crowd. Jesus loved them and received them. You come as well this morning. If you want to repent of your sins, if you want to be born again, if you want to know you're going to heaven and you don't know and you'd like to know, then it's a gift, salvation, that Jesus gives to those who come to him. You join these people at the front now. You get out of your seat, out of your row, and you come and join them. And by coming, you're saying, I want to go to heaven. I want to know Jesus Christ. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Could you all just take one very small step forward? Is that right? Because a lot of people coming forward, we want to make room for them. You can come make another room, move some chairs. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's people still coming. We're just waiting for them. God's speaking to people this morning. People who need to give their lives to Jesus. Need a miracle in their life. Need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You come and join these people. Step out into the aisle. It says something. When you move, it's an act of faith. And God sees it. It's a prayer. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We're not about a nice church service here. We never have been. We're about revival. And this stuff is about revival this morning. Let's open our hearts to God.